Questions and Answers on the Bible. Chapter 38. The Evil of Spiritualism. Very few of those who read and talk about spiritualism realize what a terrible thing it is. Most people suppose that it is simply a foolish fad, not especially wicked, but exceedingly silly. They have heard so much about table tipping, rappings, etc., and there have been so many exposures of the tricks performed by professed spirit mediums, that it is quite commonly supposed that spiritualism is a clumsy sort of fraud. The essence of spiritualism. While there are very many adjuncts to spiritualism, and it develops in many different forms, the thing itself consists always and only in this one teaching, namely, the conscious existence of the dead, and the possibility of their communicating with those still on earth. That is the whole of spiritualism, or spiritism, as it is more properly called, and everybody who holds to the unscriptural doctrine of the consciousness of the dead is essentially a spiritualist. Not a very dangerous thing, you say. Well, there is never any safety in falsehood, and we have seen in the three preceding studies in this corner that there is no truth in that doctrine. The scriptures of truth teach us that man is mortal by nature, that mortality is exchanged for immortality only at the coming of the Lord, and that between death and the coming of the Lord there is a period of absolute unconsciousness. Now let us see wherein the danger lies in the opposite view. Ministering angels. It is a fact that there are spirits that go about on earth, walking among men, unseen by them. These are not, however, the spirits of the dead. God sends his holy angels as ministering spirits, to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. These angels excel in strength, and serve men in thousands of ways. We are indebted to their good offices for preservation from many dangers and accidents. While they do their work in silence, and are content to do their duty, even though their ministration be not recognized, it is possible for them to appear to us, and angels have often been seen by men. The Bible contains numerous instances of such manifestations. Fallen angels. But these angels of God are not all the spirits that go about on this earth. There are angels that kept not their first estate, angels that sinned, and left their habitation. Satan himself, their leader, was once the highest and most exalted created being in heaven, but now he spends his time going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Though he and his host of fallen angels have lost all their goodness, they have not lost all their power, and their wisdom has degenerated into cunning. Fallen though they be, they are in every particular far more than a match for mere human beings. Try the spirits. It is for this reason that we are exhorted not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits, whether they are of God. How are we to try them? Here is the rule. To the law, and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now there is not the slightest ground for doubt that men have had and do still have communications from these spirits, and that what has been done in this line in the past is but a small beginning. Can you not see that the truth concerning the nature of man and the state of the dead is not a matter of indifference? If it be held that the dead are conscious, there is no ground for denying their ability to communicate with those whom they have left behind. True, very many who hold that doctrine do not believe that they can so communicate, but let them once receive a communication concerning something which no one ever knew anything about, except themselves and someone who is now dead, or, stronger still, let them see the form of the departed one, and let them talk with one who looks like him, and who reminds them of all the incidents of bygone days, and they will inevitably believe that the dead can communicate with men in the flesh. This has been the experience of thousands, and it will be the experience of many thousands more. Not the spirits of the dead. But who are these pretended friends? We know for a certainty that they cannot be the spirits of the dead, for the dead know not anything. The conclusion is evident, therefore, that they are not but the sinful angels that kept not their first estate, and who have now nothing to look forward to but the day of destruction, and who find their delight in seducing to destruction as many human beings as possible. Be assured that every time anybody receives a communication purporting to come from some dead friend, he is in direct communication with the devil, or some of his host of fallen angels. Is it not terrible to contemplate? I have known ministers of the gospel who have fallen into spiritualism through their belief in the conscious state of the dead, when the evidence of their senses was added to what they regarded as a fundamental doctrine of the gospel. They, of course, accepted it. And when spiritualism has once been accepted by any person, the doctrines of the Bible and the morality of the Bible no longer are final authority to him. He is at the mercy of the enemy of all good, and the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. How many there are who depend for their belief wholly upon what their favorite minister says, or upon the traditions of men, even though they be contrary to the Bible. In fact, most people go to some man to find out the meaning of whatever the Bible says. When they depend so much on what men still in the flesh say, is not to be expected that they would attach still more weight to the sayings of those who profess to have come direct from heaven? If a man gets his religion wholly from some learned clergyman, will he not depend still more upon a message purporting to come from that man after he has been dead and supposedly in heaven for many years? The only safety against the gross deceptions of Satan in the last days is strict adherence to the Word of God. And this emphasizes the fact that acceptance of the righteousness of God in Christ is the only hope of man. It matters not how correct the form of doctrine which one believes, if he does not believe unto righteousness, if he cherishes any sins, he is an easy prey to the deceptions of Satan, because he is already submitting to him. The devil must be stoutly resisted, steadfastly in the faith. 1 Peter 5 verse 9, and he will flee. The prince of this world will have no power over those in whom he finds nothing of his own. Life in Christ only. So we end where we began, with absolute dependence on Christ for righteousness and life. Life and righteousness are inseparable, and both come only from God in Christ. Spiritualism denies the necessity for any atonement, and this is the inevitable conclusion from the teaching that men have life in themselves, apart from Christ, for whoever has life in himself has righteousness also. The wrath of God comes upon the false prophets, because, he says, with lies we have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not turn from his wicked way, by promising him life. Do not be afraid to trust the Lord for everything, and in all your ways to acknowledge him as the source of everything, and he will make your way right.